This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN, the Holotable News Network. You're not even remotely close to around-the-clock Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reaction, reviews, theory crafting, and more source. I'm Pico Burrito, your host, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Celiac Sarah. Welcome, Sarah, to our very special Sunday episode. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Hey, I have a story I have to tell you. We picked up 6 new subscribers this week.
Ooh, I love that.
We picked up 6 new subscribers as I was sitting at a table with about 10 of my coworkers. We need to talk to the other 4 why they didn't join on top of this, but someone very quietly asked me, you know, hey, what's going on? You know, what's new with you? And I'm like, did I tell you that I'm doing a Star Wars podcast? And announced to the table, what do you mean you're doing a Star Wars podcast? So this became this big topic of conversation. And he's like, well, what's the name of it? He pulled out his phone. And because I always call it HNN, I couldn't actually give him the right name. I'm like, it's the Hoth News Network. And he's looking over and over for this. No one can find it. I had to look it up and actually tell someone what the name of my podcast was, though. So, yes, the nerd vision kind of crossed over into the work piece for me this week, and it was great. So, but I now know the name of our podcast.
That's really important
to know.
I always call it HNN too. And
yeah,
there have been a few times where I've had to catch myself and be like, HoloNet. Nope, that's wrong. that's amazing. So you got 6 yeah. coworkers.
I got 6 coworkers to sign up for it. I actually had one of them message me the next night. He's like, hey man, I'm sitting at the hotel bar having a drink listening to your podcast. And I'm just like, one, thank you. And I can't believe you don't have something better to do with your time than sit by yourself at a bar and listen to this podcast. But no, it was fun. The numbers are increasing. We're now stepping out into real world marketing. That's kind of how I want to look at it. So
love it. My real world marketing is my mother-in-law. So, okay. So you said this is like a very special episode.
It is a very special episode. So we, Sarah and I were talking last week and I kind of messaged her and I said, are you dreading trying to cover Conquest and new Datacrons and a new kit and the road ahead and probably another kit by Tuesday? And I think you agreed that was pretty miserable.
I was like, is it too early to rub whiskey on Jasper's gums?
Yeah, look, I know Jasper's going to be tired, like not being able to make that whole episode. I can't do 3-hour episodes all the time either. So,
plus Conquest.
Yeah, it's just there's too much. So I think
TV.
Yeah. So, well, and we're going to do this week in TV where news flash maybe to any of the old DBs that are listening to this tomorrow morning. We're going to change up platoons a little bit. So everyone's going to kind of get a little bit of a shift of the characters they use. So a lot of changes coming to the game this week. So I think we thought it would be a good idea maybe to jump in and cover Conquest tonight and the new ship, the Fury. Or the Fury class interceptor. I got to get that name right. And then I think when we get to the normal bat channel, you know, normal bat time thing, we'll kind of hit the road ahead and kind of all the other news that later in the week. So,
yeah. And this will be good timing because, I mean, not that Conquest characters aren't important, but this reward is very important.
Yes.
So if you can get your act together before Conquest starts, then you're going to be golden, I think.
And also this will get people really excited. I mean, it's going to surprise them. It's going to hit their inbox tomorrow morning ish. I don't want to commit to you to that time frame, but as it rolls into Conquest, people are like, I've already got the podcast where we talk all about it. And then we launch into Conquest and it's going to, you know, everyone's going to be ready to go from that standpoint.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So where do we want to start with Conquest? And
do we want to start with the kit reveal in the new ship? Because that's really kind of why we're all here, is for the huge new ship. So I think before we get into it, I think, and again, if you're just like, if this is your news source for all of this, one, where have you been for the past week? But two, we won't get too far into this in the road ahead, but we're going to talk about this new ship. But we have to understand that in the context of CG has told us, we are going to get a new capital ship. It's going to be the The Ravager? No, the Leviathan. No.
Well, mm-hmm. Leviathan.
And Darth Revan is the what do we call the capital ship captains?
Fleet commander?
Fleet commander, thank you. I couldn't figure out that word today. and they said that it is designed to replace the current Raddus executor meta.
Yeah.
So yikes. You want this.
Correct. And if you have not already done the math, at the end of the 3-month cycle of conquest, that will be June 26th. So that is the end of the Fury class interceptor being the primary reward.
Yes.
So anytime after that.
And they also said as part of this announcement, we're going to get some additional Sith and Sith Empire ships.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not released yet. So we got a little bit of runway as we get into that. So this is a very critical conquest for you. Yes. So,
and sorry, not only are we getting two other ships, those two ships are dropping before June 26th. Yes,
absolutely.
Which is, so we know that we have three ships, theoretically. Yeah. Four, if you include the capital ship.
Fingers crossed they're kind of TIE Defender level galactic chases that we can kind of get them within the week, or we can kind of knock them out very easily that way. But so let's talk about the furry club, the furry class interceptor, the furry class interceptor. You want to read the kit or you want me to?
I can read it. I haven't read it. Have you read it?
I have not read it.
Oh, no. Man. Love it. Okay. So this is the ship that Darth Malgus is piloting.
Mm-hmm.
Only Darth Malgus. It was kind of looking like maybe Sith Empire Trooper would, because he's in the Lego set. And clearly that's where CG gets their information from. So it's not him. It's just Darth Malgus, and which people have been kind of pointing out is doubly hard, so to speak. I'm putting words in people's mouths, unfortunately, because it's a conquest character piloting a conquest ship. So I can kind of understand that point of view. But anyway, it is tagged as support Sith and Sith Empire. So I think this is actually, this would be the first Sith Empire ship.
No, because the B2 Extinction and the Sith Fighter are both tagged as Sith Empire.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. And
then ignore me.
So I have not read the kit. I read the Q&A, and that Sith and Sith Empire tag will become, the two tags will become very critical as we get into the kit. So there's a reason why they're labeled that way. So.
Okay, cool. So let's just dive into it then. All right. His basic enmity and man, we're starting strong. Enmity class precision laser cannons. Ooh, that is a terrible name. deal physical damage to target enemy for each ability block, concussion mine, healing immunity, health down, shock, or suspense present on other enemies. Inflict those debuffs on the target enemy for one turn. If there are no debuffs on the enemy side, inflict suspense on target enemy for one turn, which can't be evaded or resisted. Suspense, you cannot gain buffs. Gaining bonus turn meter, recovering protection, or gaining protection up will inflict defense down for two turns, which can't be evaded or resisted. If suspense is dispelled, increase the cooldowns by one, which can't be resisted. If suspense expires and is not dispelled, all Sith and Sith Empire enemies gain a stack of We Have Returned for four turns, which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. Yikes. Okay.
That's... First of all, that is the most complex kit I think that we've read in months.
That's a basic. That's the basic. Okay. So basically, no matter what happens, something bad will happen to you.
Yeah. So a bunch. So physical damage, and then yeah. So
yeah,
that's crazy. You're just basically reflecting debuffs back to the target. And if it's a first move, it kind of looks like they're going to get this new suspense debuff.
Yeah.
And it does everything.
And if it's not, then I guess you target the ship without any debuffs.
Yeah. Yep.
So, okay. Special one, Heavy Seeker Missiles, which is a cooldown of 2. That is very, very short.
Mm-hmm.
Deal true damage to target enemy equal to 15% of the Fury class interceptor's max health and inflict suspense for 1 turn. Sith allies recover 20% health and protection doubled for Sith Empire allies.
I have thoughts here.
Okay.
So this tells me that if you do not have an R9 Malgus right now, you need to get an R9 Malgus.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I was like, the only way you're tweaking this ship's health is through Malgus.
Yep. Yeah. That's a don't even wait.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yikes.
But 2-turn cooldown, man, that's a huge heal, and that potentially is a lot of damage.
Yeah. And you're just spamming suspense around the board.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
As of right now, having not read the second special, but as of right now, you could arguably go back and forth between this and the basic.
Yep.
Okay, so second special, Path to Power, has a cooldown of 4. Call all Sith and Sith Empire allies to assist. Inflict debuffs on the target enemy for each active Sith and Sith Empire ally. Allies that are both count twice. Okay, so we're doing a little bit of like a Darth Vader speed, you know, thing. So 1+ ally, inflict healing immunity for 2 turns. 3+ allies, you inflict burning for 2 turns. 5+ allies, inflict suspense for 1 turn, which can't be evaded or resisted. 7+ allies, inflict shield disruption for 2 turns. And I'm assuming this is like one of those things that it just tacks on.
Yes,
so.
It does. Yeah, so they answer that question.
Perfect.
In the Q&A. My question is, so opening move of the game, let's say that I've got the Sith fighter, the Sith bomber, this ship, and the capital ship.
Yeah.
Is that
7+ allies?
Is that 7+ allies at that point? Do I get to count? Do you get to count yourself? Because so for each active Sith and Sith Empire ally, so that would that be 6, I guess, at that point?
Because that's what I'm wondering.
2, 2, and 2. So you can't really get the full advantage of this until your first reinforcement comes in.
Right. I'm going to guess that you do get to count yourself because normally they say for each other active ally when you're not including yourself. So based off of that, if CG is following their grammar logic, then yes, you count yourself. Okay.
So, are you telling me that I'm going to need, and I forget the big grammar book, but then there's the, you know, Panda Eats Shoots and Leaves next to it on the bookshelf. And then next to that, I have to have the CG grammar book as well.
Yeah.
You know, for all of my writing needs. Yeah. Great.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay. So then his unique Galaxy in Flames. Sith allies gain 30% tenacity, doubled for Sith Empire allies. At the start of the battle, Sith Empire tanks gain taunt for 2 turns, and Fury class interceptor and Sith Empire tanks gain stable bulwark for the rest of the battle. When stable bulwark is lost, Sith Empire tanks taunt for 2 turns. Okay. Okay. When a Sith ally takes damage, they gain a stack of reinforced determination, maximum of 5, until the start of their next turn. Ally Sith ships gain an additional plus 25% defense per stack of reinforced determination, doubled for Sith Empire ships. Whew, okay. So stable bulwark is plus 100% defense and offense. Because why not? Why not have both? Yeah. Plus 50% max health and max protection, plus 25% crit chance and crit damage. The first time this ship is reduced to 1% health, it recovers 100% health, gains a bonus turn, gains 5 stacks of reinforced determination for 1 turn, and loses stable bulwark. So basically, the ship says, fuck you.
Yeah. It's we didn't make the Sith bomber tanky enough, so this fixes that problem.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. reinforced determination is +50% defense per stack. So right away, you knock this ship down to 1%, it goes back up to full and now has 250% defense.
Yeah. I want to see a change to the Sith bomber kit that it's going to have like unique 1.5. And when you click it, it actually cross launches you over into this kit, because this is all here really just for that ship to make that work. So
you could just change the kit to say, please read Fury Fast Interceptor's kit. okay. And then reinforcement ability, Rage of Korriban. So on entering battle, all Sith allies gain a stack of reinforced determination for one turn. All Sith allies gain 20% protection up for two turns, doubled for Sith Empire allies, inflict target enemy with suspense for one turn, which can't be avoided.
So, all right. We have three ships we don't know the kit for.
Right.
For this fleet. But tell me any scenario where this ship is coming in as where this is going to be coming in as a reinforcement.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, you're going to have to really make the other two ships that we don't know about considerably better, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but he's got this ability called suspense. So maybe they're going to try and play on this theme of like, when does Darth Malgus show up?
But I
don't know when this is supposed to be, and they said that they put the ship in conquest because the conquest ships are always better. To me, that just feels like no. I come first, because also you lose all of that tank pre-taunt stuff, all the pieces for Sith bomber. You lose it at the beginning of the fight.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they have to put a reinforcement in. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, as of right now, I don't see it happening either. I'm very curious about the other two ships.
Yeah.
Obviously, the first curiosity being, what are they going to be? But how are they going to affect whether or not this is a reinforcement ship?
Well, in a lot of this is speculation, but there was a question asked in the Q&A about this ship, and it said, "Are you going to do a kit refresh on the Sith fighter? Because it is." I mean, it is Kit Fisto level bad of a kit.
And it really is.
Yeah. And they said, and Meathead said, or actually I think it's the developers that really answered those questions, but they said that is part of the Leviathan playtesting. If they find that they need to make some changes to that ship, they'll make it. And I read that and I'm like, yeah, you guys will do whatever. What's interesting is how they built so much of a buff to the extinction bomber into this kit. Like, so they probably could with Leviathan Sith attackers or something to that point. But this looks like it's, again, I think it's hard to tell what it's going to be. It looks great on paper, but who knows what this is really going to look like when it's all said and done.
It's also important to know, I just skimmed the Q&A.
Yep.
That, because sometimes typically in Conquest, I'm trying to think of all of the ships. Maybe Scythe was the first one where it was a 7-star unlock instead of 5. So this is also a 7-star unlock. Yep. So we're not unlocking this, partway through the second run.
Yeah.
It's 330 shards and done.
I'll be honest though, and again, it looks like it's a great kit, but it very much feels like it's designed to go with a Sith/Sith Empire, and more Sith Empire probably than anything else fleet. So even if you unlocked it without the Leviathan, what does it really look like at that point? So,
yeah.
But this suspense debuff is pretty crazy. So can't gain buffs, gain bonus, can't gain bonus turn meter, can't recover protection, can't gain protection up, and inflicts defense down for two turns, which can't be evaded or resisted.
Yeah.
That's called fuck you, Houndstooth.
Oh, yeah. So that is a great, great point. I didn't even think of Houndstooth.
I mean, it's oof. Houndstooth is done.
And okay. if suspense is dispelled, which this is obviously not a locked buff, so it's dispellable, increase the cooldowns by one. So Houndstooth basics and dispels itself. Increasing its own cooldowns, which isn't the end of the world. But if you don't dispel it and you let it expire, everyone gets we have returned. So,
which is that's the critical damage up, offense up type thing that they
Malgus has. So, I think it's on Malgus's kit. That is very mean.
So we were talking about this a little bit in chat today, because again, I don't think you can really talk about this kit without the Leviathan is kind of hovering over every conversation with this. And you know, people are already starting to ask, like, you know, how do I get ready? Who do we think is going to be part of the kit? Pico's view of the world. I know this is not the easiest thing for a lot of people to do, but Malgus should be R9, and just start taking your Darth Revan to R9 right now.
At the very least R7.
You know, longer term, everyone typically ends up at R8/R9 for the fleet commanders. Looking at Malgus's kit and knowing what Malgus does at R9, if you can spare the mats to do that, like I know a couple people, like, I only do mandatory characters that are there. If you have Malgus and you can get him to R9, I would take him there, because he's a monster with that extra all that those extra defensive stats. But I think this is going to be fun.
I think you could very easily make an argument that Darth Revan Relic 9 will be a requirement.
Yep. I don't even think that's a question at this point. So the other thing they did say in the Q&A, and again, I think it's probably important to call out, this fleet in general will be designed to not take the Emperor's shuttle or taxi or the TIE Advanced. So they do want to keep all of the Empire line ships over with some of the Empire fleets, and they really kind of want to pull this. So, you know, they're talking about the Scimitar right now. They're talking about the two Sith Empire ships. And again, we're supposed to get two more, which that would give us a total of 5 in the fleet. Is that correct? No, that would be 6.
That would be 6, right? Because you've got this one, Sith Fighter, Scimitar, B-28, plus 2. Yeah, so 6.
So what would be funny if they actually didn't do anything for the Sith Fighter and it still was just unused?
But it's a requirement.
But it's a requirement. Yeah. Oh, it'll be a requirement, but yeah, it's going to sit there and do nothing for an extended period of time. So,
Man. So this is the reward. This is what we want. This is the
reward.
In Conquest.
That leads a question. Mm-hmm. Sarah, how do we get through Conquest?
Oh, man. Can I just say, it is a ship reward in Conquest. Ship reward conquests have, like, this is now a pattern, because this is the 4th ship that CG is releasing through Conquest. They have repeatedly been easier to get through than when it's a tune that's being released as the reward. And by easier, I mean there's generally fewer battles in the global feats. It feels less grindy. The feats feel easier to do. There's one feat. Well, I don't think we need to necessarily go over it in detail, but I'm just going to call it out. And it's a gimme. You get a free 15 points in Sector 5.
Yeah.
By gain defense up 40 times. That is a gimme that you can do in one battle.
Yep.
And like, everyone should be doing that feat as soon as you hit Sector 5. It's going to be fine to get there.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. And you know, I've poured through these. My big question, and this is because we have, like, when the new Conquest roll out, we have about 90% of the information, because there's a little bit of, I don't think we know what the bosses are. I don't think we know what the mini bosses are. Mm-hmm. My big question is, are we finally going to get a change to the treasure node teams? Like, am I still killing that stupid bounty hunter team over and over and over and over again?
I think you are. But I think it's Sector 4.
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure it's Sector 4. The boss is a Night Sister boss. It's a Night Sister team. And it has Zombie.
So what am I doing there? So ability block 60 times. Yep, that'll be Java auto basic.
Defeat 50 enemies with Imperial troopers. Like,
yeah.
But also, if you have to do defeat 100 enemies with Cal and Seer, if you really want to, we have a zombie.
Yeah. That's pretty nice. And I think we'll talk through this, but we are starting to see the return of my favorite, you know, AA or my favorite combinations of the BAAA combo. I love those. I'm going to just call it the VA.
The VA. It really is. Because once you get rolling with those discs,
it's just the longer the A's, the easier it makes the fight.
it's so true. Okay, so maybe that's the first thing we should point out is the discs are slightly changed.
Yep, a little bit.
So Amplify Agni is coming back, which is great because people were upset that it was gone and V8 and Volatile Accelerator stayed. Which, by the way, Volatile Accelerator was still beautiful to pick up even without
it was
AA. But so it's back. However, my favorite, Zealous Ambition, is gone.
Yes, I will miss that drastically. It did make a lot of the team kill feats easier because you could always put a support on it. Let's talk a little bit about Amplify Agni though. And so there are a couple of teams that if you haven't kind of played around with this, there are a couple of teams that you just 100% want is part of this. The first, and I think again, folks, if you've slept on the Inquisitors, why?
Yeah.
And now this is, I think, the point where we're supposed to make fun of Tilo from the Mad Awesome Show because he's still not GI ready, and he's actually going to unlock. Yeah, he's going to unlock Reva before he unlocks Grand Inquisitor.
Tilo, we need to have a conversation.
But so we've got some feats. Well, when we get into the feats, it's unaligned force users heavy. We still have our Grand Inquisitor feats, and guess what? Grand Inquisitors, if you have GI or Reva, it starts everybody off with debuffs, which, what do you know, does a whole bunch of damage when that comes off. Like, literally, you're going to start a fight with the Inquisitors. Before you get a turn, they're all just going to fall over.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
You're going to laugh.
It's going to be perfect.
So the Va combo, as you've dubbed it, and I love, is going to make, and this is the other thing that makes, I mean, not ship conquests specifically, but just this combo makes the battle so much faster.
Yeah.
That it's going to feel less grindy.
Yep. Absolutely.
You're going to fly through these sectors.
Absolutely.
Ah, man. Yeah, and that combo, I preach about Bam Han Chewy, but that's going to make those surviving feats even better. And for those who don't know, the reason why you want to put Amplify Agni with Volatile Accelerator is because Amplify Agni deals health percent damage based off of you inflicting debuffs on the enemy for each debuff inflicted. And Volatile Accelerator inflicts dots for you.
Yes.
So basically, whenever you deal damage to an enemy, that enemy gains turn meter, which seems kind of counterintuitive, but they are also gaining dots. So you're speeding them up to have the dots explode. And because you've put dots on them, you've also dealt max health damage. Amplify Agni does not steal your kills. Important to note, because people say it does. It does not steal your kills. It says so right in the disc, guys. Volatile Accelerator is the one that steals your kills. Yep. It's the dots. So that is... that's my soapbox moment, but it is, if you can find a Volatile Accelerator and then get, like, I like to shoot for 3 Amplify Agnes, depending on what color they are, you're laughing.
Yeah. And there's a couple of teams that are just going to work super well with this. And you mentioned it, the Dash Han Chewy team +2. And it's typically, who do you need to survive as part of that? they tend to kind of clear the floor with that. The Inquisitors are going to be phenomenal with this because they just naturally drop debuffs as just by coming into the game. I mean, for the folks that have Reva and Grand Inquisitor, you're going to start each character with, you know, with six debuffs on them. They're immediately going to take turns and die is coming to that. Lord Vader is great with this because he's got a bunch of dots that sit on that. And then I still think the sortie BB-8 droid squads, if I remember correctly, still do a ton of damage because I think her, if I remember correctly, maybe I've got this wrong. Maybe that was a Zealous Ambition kit. But I thought that she had an insta kill that was part of that as well. But I could be, because there was a period when we had both the Va and Zealous Ambition at the same time, and I could just be dreaming of just droid murder.
When she does her like card throw AoE, she inflicts defense down. So you got an AoE debuff going out there. So she would theoretically do some good damage with them.
The one piece I don't like about Volatile Accelerator is that it is a three dot disc, which means you make sure to pick up your one discs, your one dots, because I tend to pass on those because I just don't usually need them. But an 11 of 12 just drives me nuts. Just like Relic 6 drives me nuts. It's just not a dot.
I know. I always just throw a random one dot on. But also coming back, and this will work really well with the Va combo, is Caustic Emissions.
Yep.
Which also gives dots at the start of an enemy's turn. It depends on, oh my gosh, it depends on what level of Caustic Emissions you get. But if you get the blue version, you get dots and burning, so it's even better. You can stack those. I probably wouldn't.
I've never stacked them in the past. And again, the other is if you really, again, really want to play around with these, but at a certain point, you stack up so many debuffs that it's counterproductive, but also you can drop a thermal exhaust on there as well, because if you can get something that puts five debuffs on, then they get two stacks of thermal detonators, which are debuffs. And again, it just starts to scale and scale and scale. And everyone, you know, there's the potential for a lot of things in the feats. But if you're just going to grind, you know, Datacron, Matilla, or whatever, it's just going to be so fast this time around. It's just going to move rapid through all of these pieces.
It's going to be beautiful.
Potency calibration, I think, is back. That one's kind of bad.
Yeah. That one's only really good if you need to land debuffs. Yeah, yeah. But I don't think it really is make or break. There was another one that I saw. Oh, Voluntary Vanguard is still there, which is great if you need it for getting marked on your own team, Force Tank. We are going to also lose Entrenched and Fortified. So two pretty good defensive discs. But again, it looks like you're really going to want to go for a make things go boom build. Yeah.
Now, at the same time, though, because there are some, in particular, we're talking about the Cal and Seer kills. So you do want, if you look on the CG site where they've listed all the Datacrons, you do want a good mix, I think, of the ones between 33 and 40 on the spreadsheet. So that's Power, Insatiable, and probably Voluntary Vanguard, because while the AA and the VAs are great, and they don't steal your kills, the problem is, sometimes you need to draw fights out long enough so that you can get killed, like so you can get the turn meters around to the characters that you want, and kind of that Power, Insatiable, Vitality, and Voluntary Vanguard kind of scope makes you tanky, but it maybe makes some of those weaker characters hit a little harder. So again, you want to pull some of those, stick them off to the side, and kind of use them in the case where you need to. But the reality is, I think a lot of people are going to find that they're going to be able to get all the way to the end, where maybe they haven't been able to in the past, just because they're going to be able to run through with all those other pieces. So,
I also really like opportunistic support and defensive formation. particularly if you're using Jedi Master Luke to get those like calling to get those kill shots with him, because you're calling characters out of turn, you're healing your entire team with those discs. So if you've got a weaker Cal or Seer, you can keep them alive a little bit longer that way. And those, I can't remember honestly if they are one or two dot, but they're not a three dot, which is realistically the only three dot discs I would pick up is Volatile Accelerator, Voluntary Vanguard, and I think that's it. I'm just double checking.
Yeah.
I never grab Hyper Accelerator.
Yep.
Not worth it. I never grab War of Attrition.
And honestly, Dark Loyalty is a nice four dot, but where you're probably going to need it isn't always. I think some of the problematic teams are not dark side, they're light side, so it's only going to get you a certain subset of the character. So it becomes questionable really when you want to use it in some of those cases.
Yeah, Deadly Catalyst is a fun disc to pick up. That's a four dot one, but that one you're going to go on a completely different build, and you want to get your roofless discs with it.
Yep.
So you want to kind of keep that in mind when you're grabbing your discs of which one are you going for, and if you see a Volatile Accelerator and Amplify Agni, or you see Deadly Catalyst and Ruthless Discs, then, you know, steer into the skid and pick one.
Now let me ask you a question, because would you recommend people that maybe don't take the challenge path to be a little bit more aggressive on the challenge path this time around because of the Bad Guys Go Boom kind of builds that we can put together is part of this?
So what I would do, if you don't typically take it, I would try to take it just for when it's on the top of the half, because that's when you're going for your discs, right? The bottom half is just your scavenger node. So if you don't want to take it on the bottom half.
I'm amazed at how much better at this game than you are, that I have, for as long as we've been playing Conquest, I did not know that that was the case.
Yeah, the top half always leads to a disc.
As you said I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm bad.
You just blow through so fast. You're just like, look, boom, done 6 for 5.
That's a great point. That's a phenomenal point.
I would really recommend paying attention to it for the top when you're working your way through the top half. And even then, if you really need to jump off, I would, depending on where you are in Conquest. If you're in Sector 4 and you still haven't found an Amplify Agni, then I would very much recommend staying on that path. But if you're, you know, halfway through Sector 2 and you've got a Volatile Accelerator already and two Amplify Agonies, you're laughing. If you see a enemy team that is going to let you cheese some of these feats on it, jump off the path. But I always go until I think it's two nodes ahead or in advance, basically, before the discs are available. You can see what's on there and then decide to hop off.
Yeah. And that was kind of where my thought was, because one of the interesting things with this setup is you don't need a lot of multiples of a disc, like where I think you could stack a couple of entrenched and some of those other things in the previous one. You want three AAs, everything else, you really want one of. Now,
right.
You might get two because you had a gray and you ran across a blue and it's just better from that side. But it's more, the more swings I think you get at pulling the ones you want early is better, so that you can just really aggressively kind of get to the end and kind of do the thing that you need to. So
that's exactly it. So if you can stay on that path, then I would. That being said, if you know, see I will veer off the path for a Geonosian team.
Mm-hmm.
I will veer off for Phoenix without Sabine on it. And I will veer off for, sounds crazy, but I will typically veer off for Padme as well.
Okay.
Sorry, let me clarify. I will veer off for Padme in a sector that I need to inflict a lot of debuffs on. So
okay.
If you're doing Purge, for example, I would veer off for that.
Okay.
Especially if you don't have Reva or Grand Inquisitor and you have to kind of cheese Purge
yeah.
with just your normal mm-hmm. Inquisitors. And then also a Nest team. I forgot about Nest.
Yeah.
But usually, I mean, out of those, like Geonosians, 100% I'm veering for.
Yep.
In every sector. They're just so good to cheese on. But yeah.
As much as I complain about the bounty hunter nodes, and it's the same thing for the Geonosians, it's the same thing for the Imperial troopers if you can take them, especially on like the kill 50 of X or, you know, kill 50 with something or other. It's just so much more efficient to do that. That first node yeah. is 7 kills per 20 energy versus going to do something else for 5, you know, you get 5 for 7 energy. So you get to kind of push further into those. Same thing with the Geonosians. I know when we got out of the AA groups, I stopped, like I would run from the trooper teams because if you don't go first, mm-hmm. they're really hard to deal with. Again, is if you can get something that's going to lay debuffs down at the start, it puts you actually swing the momentum back in your direction and you get to wipe them out. And that those are what it's, there's 3 stat, it's like 8 per wave. So all of a sudden, yeah. again, you get to kill a lot of things very quickly that way with those teams. So troopers are back on the menu, at least for me, this conquest. But
absolutely. So definitely, doable with the discs yep. that they are giving us. Even if, and I'm going to say this, even if you have, you know, gear 10, gear 11 characters.
Yep. Yep.
I think it'll be fine. Are there any feats that are kind of like sticking out to you as tedious yeah. or?
So I think the one that I'm going to be the most interested in is going to be the defeat 100 enemies with Cal and Seer. And
yeah.
the reason for that is they're designed to be very slow.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a go fast conquest. They're designed to go slow and they don't hit hard natively. Like, mm-hmm. yes, Seer will drop her crazy thing, but that's one character. They don't hit hard natively, and I don't have a zealous ambition to fix that problem.
Right.
So how is that going to be? Is that the Jawa feat?
Right.
I'm just going to concede 16 points because there's another, actually it's 1 point to get that to unlock booming voice to do something else. But everything else, I mean, I hate like the two feats that I hate blind.
Yeah.
Even though people have shown me a million times to do it, how to do it easy. And I don't like armor shred.
I don't like armor shred either.
But everything else looks really straightforward.
Mm-hmm. I will say it is kind of nice this time. Armor shred is 20 times, not 40.
Yep. Yep.
So again, this is what I mean by like ship conquests are generally yeah. less grindy. It's 20 times, not 40. The global feats, we have 120 win battles total if you were to do all of them. Mm-hmm. And the last conquest we just did was 160.
Yep.
So it's definitely a little bit better that way. Some of these boss feats, you can get both feats done
yeah.
in one fight. And that's something that they have been going away from for so many conquests in a row. And now it's back on there that you can just do both at the same time.
So maybe let's talk about that for a second, because people probably forgot about this. Can you talk through kind of this dash team
yeah.
that lets you kind of kill these and kind of the thought process that, because a lot of people are going to forget about it and they're going to get halfway through conquest and realize they wasted a bunch of energy on the mini boss and the boss fights.
Yeah. So the team that I used is Bam lead, Han, Chewie, and then I would plug dash in. Because Zealous Ambition, he hits so hard. And then your fifth is whichever character you need to yep. survive. I don't know if I'm going to use Dash necessarily this time because we don't have Zealous Ambition.
Yep.
But the idea is you have volatile accelerator on and you have amplify agony and you need BAM's leadership data. A lot of people don't mention that, and I'm going to mention it because it took me wasting hundreds of crystals to learn that lesson. But you need his leadership data because that's the data that feeds turn meter to the team whenever you are inflicting debuffs. So basically Haunt shoots first, debuffs go out there because of volatile accelerator, and then amplify agony is doing the damage. And you're feeding your team so much turn meter because of volatile accelerator. And then you are now inflicting debuffs between BAM, Haunt, and Chewie, that you are just wiping the team. They typically don't take a turn.
Yeah.
With volatile accelerator and amplify agony, I've seen people take, I haven't done it myself because my thing whenever we unlock a marquee is I take them straight to gear 7 or 8, wherever, park them there and move on. But I've seen people take characters that are gear 1 that need to survive for these feats. And they do because the teams don't take a turn. But not only is it good for the survival feats, but it is perfect for your winning without Jedi, Sith, or unaligned force users because they're not there. Which means you're going to be able to double dip because you have, you can't in the Sector 1 mini boss because Hermit Yoda is who you need to survive.
Yeah.
But on the boss node in Sector 1, you want T3M4 to survive. And then the second half of it is not choose a Galactic Legend. So that's a gimme. In Sector 2, Sana needs to survive. So that's a gimme. On the boss, you need Cad Bane and Aura Sing to survive. So again, that's a gimme. And you're just going to be able to get both of those at the same time as you're making your way through the bosses, theoretically, if you have discs already. It's just going to be laughable.
And so this actually, is this new, the win without using a Galactic Legend in your squad?
Yeah.
Okay. That's 1, 3, and 5 bosses are win without a Galactic Legend.
Right.
And again, I think there are going to be ways to work around that. I mean, it's 7 points. It's not a lot, but at that point, let's say, and I know like Jedi Master Luke is kind of the team, so you can't get the credit on those. So you lose 7 there. The Cal and Seer, you drop that one off. That's 16. So that's 23 points. You still have a ton of wiggle room in this to kind of be really successful through the rest of the list.
So, and I even was looking at this because some of the survival feats are conquest characters.
Yep.
So you've got Darth Malgus in there. You've got Admiral Trench in there, who's very new. And even if you add up all of the feats with those so say you have none of these characters. So you have Dad Bod Boba, Malgus, Trench, and then I'm also going to throw in Dr. Aphra because that's a relatively new, hard to get character. All of those points is 15 points that you're dropping, and you can skip 34. So even if you skip all of those survival feats, you still have 19 points to work with. You could still arguably skip the defeat 100 enemies with Cal feat and have 3 points of wiggle room, which is totally doable, especially with volatile accelerator and amplify agony, because 95% of the time with that disc combo, you're going to 3-star the node.
Yeah. What's going to be interesting is seeing how people manage the Tuskens.
Yes. And I will say, not having Zealous Ambition did make me sad for the Tuskens because 3 of them are support characters. Yeah. But I think they're going to make things go boom.
I think they're a team that's it's going to work really, really well for. What I'm kind of excited for to see how this and look, I feel like we need to point this out because I honestly forget it as well. But so 40 battles with a full squad of unaligned force users.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your Inquisitors are unaligned force users.
Yep.
And again, most people are able to do 3 to 5 fights every day with them. So that's going to take through over a 10-day window, that's going to take care of that problem if you really need to from that side. I think there's enough, especially if we find out that we can do some fun cheese with Cal and sear with sear lead and dump a couple of extra unaligned force users. I think that'll get done really quick. You mentioned again Sector 5, the armor shred 20 times, or no, I'm sorry, the defense up 20 times in Sector 4. One that I learned, and I again, it's I, you forget some of these things in the kits because defense up is not an awesome buff. I mean, it's great, but it's not one that you typically track. If you put set on a Sith Eternal Emperor team, so anytime someone uses a special ability, he gets defense up. So one of the ways that I've actually done this is I actually don't do the Clone Wars Chewie thing anymore. I just do a couple of fights in that zone, like just naturally moving through the thing, and you'll get it automatically. And I bring that one up because a lot of people have Sith Eternal Emperor because he's a really easy one to get.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And again, you're not wasting energy. You can kind of move it forward from that side. But I really don't see. I mean, the plague 200 times, that'll be interesting, but that's in Sector 2, which is a great place to farm for some early on Datacron pieces. If I remember correctly, I think the Night Sisters do a really good job with that boss note or with the treasure note on that one as well. So I think we're gonna be really happy at the end of this.
I don't think this is going to be awful. Even gain momentum 1,000 times. You were mentioning that, like, with the volatile accelerator and amplify agony, now troopers aren't scary. Troopers are going to make that feat great. Like, you want a team that gains turn meter because you're going to gain momentum. So fantastic. Why not? And if you're doing Tusken wins anyway, I mean, you might not win against troopers with Tuskens, I don't know, but crazier things have happened.
You also don't always have to win. So it's some of those
No.
cases that, like, look, if I can pick up 250 momentum and lose the fight, I'll take it. I mean, I know it
Absolutely.
stinks, but I guess the way that I look at it is, would I trade those points for 100 crystals? And a lot of people say no from that side, but if it's just that I need to knock out quickly, I'd consider it, especially if it allows me to get closer to red crate, which we should probably point out the change that they made to the
Yes.
Conquest Pass.
Yes. So they Meathead posted that they've updated it, and basically they put out a survey. I don't know if everyone saw it, about the Conquest Pass, and I don't know if you filled it out. I filled it out.
I did.
Basically asking, do you buy it? Which one do you buy? What would you change? What do you like about it? All that kind of fun stuff. And they have now adjusted the Conquest Pass in, I believe it's normal and hard. But basically what they are doing is moving some of the rewards that are at the end of the track to the front of the track. So some of those, when you're doing, so like when I was going for gold crates, so to speak, gold crates 530 points, but because I buy the Conquest Pass, I'm like, I need to get to 603 because that's where the last Omicron is. They are now going to move some of those materials. Towards the front of the pass. Sorry, I was just double checking if they're moving the Omicron, and they are moving the Omicron and materials, but only on the normal difficulty track. So if you are not in hard mode and you play normal, which I kind of like this
I
isn't
do as well.
because it wasn't enticing, in my opinion, for smaller players to buy the pass, but now it is if you give them Omicron materials at the front. But they are moving some of those rewards to the front of the track, which basically makes it more enticing to buy, that you don't have to get all the way to the end.
So they're essentially going to charge you $10 for two Omicron mats in normal, which again I think is pretty good because those are probably pretty hard to come by at that level, or in some of the, what we'll say, the sub 4 million accounts, because you're probably also not getting the last galactic challenges on a monthly, on a pretty regular basis to start piling those up.
Okay. Sorry. I just reread it and I feel like maybe I'm misunderstanding what they're doing in normal. But so it says after winning one battle in the normal conquest run, the reward track will give you 10 trench character shards, 2 Omicron ability materials, and various amounts of gear salvage. So it's just the one box that you're basically getting. After winning one battle, you get two. So you literally go in, win one battle, and you get 2 Omicron materials. That is insane. That is here. Thank you. And then it says the hard difficulty track will include all of the normal track items. And then also 10 Fury class interceptor blueprints, 25 deboss materials, and 25 downlink materials. Does that mean the hard difficulty track will include the entire reward track from normal? And it's like, this is where I'm getting confused. Or are they saying that the one battle thing will be the same thing in hard, but you'll also get this stuff?
First of all, it was also a typo and it's supposed to be 20, not 10 shards. I didn't realize it was one battle. I thought they were pulling it all forward to the first box, which honestly, if you can get to the end of the first sector, you're going to get to the first box there anyway, but maybe it is the first battle. I'm not sure from that side. I just know that they moved all of the important resources at the end forward so that they're much more achievable. And again, it's, people say it's greedy, whatever. Look, they're changing this up to get more people to buy something. Like that's how marketing works. That's how people build products. Like I think it's a huge fit. I think it's a huge change for people, very player friendly, frankly.
It absolutely is, because so let's say this is accurate and they are moving the Omicrons and hard to the front of the pass as well, of the track. So if they move that one from the 603 point mark to the front of the track, if you're getting gold crate every single time in conquest, which is significantly easier than red.
Yep.
First of all, you still get the conquest character before it leaves the rewards. So you don't have to worry about proving grounds, but you now also will get, assuming I understand this correctly, if they do move the Omicron materials, you will now also get all of the Omicrons that are in the reward track, which means you don't have to get to 530 points and then be like, oh, well, I bought the pass, I have to go all the way to 603. Yeah. Like, you could just be like, I'm done.
Essentially, this feels like they are allowing you to spend $10 to gold crate. Like it now, there really isn't a reason. I mean, there's probably going to be some mats, like some mod mats and things like that, in the back half of that. But really, that gold crate's going to be the end of the line. And what's going to be interesting is, can you even drop back to silver at that point if you're willing to spend all of your conquest bucks on shards as well? Because I don't remember if it's like 20 from silver to gold, so that if you can buy 20 with that, so ultimately you're getting 40 through other means, and can you stop at silver? And that would be like super interesting to take a look at it from that side. So look, yes, CG is doing this to increase their wallet share.
Yes.
100%, I won't argue that. I also do think that this is a good first step of reducing the amount of time that they're asking people to spend in conquest.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Okay. So let's say you are still going to, like, let's say you go hard on Datacrons, but now if you wanted to, you could say, screw the feats, I'm just going to go after the Datacrons.
Yep.
Once you hit a certain point, and that certain point no longer needs to be red crate or 603 key cards or whatever.
Yeah. And this actually brings up another point, and I need to reach out to our friend who we can provide some of this feedback to, but I wanted to actually get ahead of the game this week and start planning on my conquest path. So I went into Hot Utils, and they don't populate that tool until conquest opens up, do they?
No, I don't believe they do.
Man,
Because
I
you
need
have
that
to
in.
refresh your game data.
Yeah. It must be the way that they're pulling it, but I would just I was one of them. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna check all the boxes and the tools, and it's not there. But it'll be interesting when all this. I think I need to look at the map to kind of understand where the shards are coming in at what point, to
Like the
find
reward
out,
track.
where my line is drawn at that point. Like I really wonder if, because I don't tend to spend a lot of time in on the fifth sector's treasure node. Like, can I get back to the point that I don't even have to go into to sector five?
That would be interesting.
You know, if I can push enough of it in that, because I have in previous conquests, I have red crated before I got to the boss in sector five.
I believe it.
And but in those cases, I do a sector before I move on to the next one. So it's very systematic, and that's why it backs up that way. But and again, it would be great to see that, just again, just to help other people that just don't have maybe the time to get all the way through. So it'll be interesting. I think this is going to be super doable. And look,
Yeah.
this is one you're not going to want to miss. It's
Yeah.
just, you know, I've heard a little bit from some people that are frustrated that they don't have Malgus, so they're going to be behind on this. You know, we talked about this a little bit in Discord. The point of proving grounds is not to be, it isn't something that you do indefinitely. It is to address that you're supposed to get your roster to a point that you red crate for the first time, and from that point forward, you never miss conquest shards.
Right.
Like that's the goal. Like whether it's in 3 months, whether it's in 6 months. And then proving grounds is there to address that period of time when your roster wouldn't carry you from that side. So
Right.
this is why it's so important to kind of push into this space to get to it. At least plan on it to be the 6 month cycle that you're able to unlock a character during that window. So, but get after it. I assume you'll have I know that you've got your preview up, correct?
Yes, I did do my preview. My goal is still to do each sector breakdown this week as we make our way through it. I usually do one a day,
Okay.
and that's still my goal. Especially considering I don't go to work anymore. I do go to work, but
Yes.
I don't leave
Yeah.
the house. So that's still the idea. And I honestly think we're gonna be able to do all of these very easily. It seems like a nice conquest.
Yeah, I've gotten in the habit of sleeping until 6 in the morning the last few weeks, and I'm hoping I don't need to swing back to the 5 a.m. for Conquest. I'm hoping that 6 a.m. is still going to be doable from that standpoint. So,
I don't think you will. I don't think you would have to. I think this is, especially with the battles going faster. I do want to piggyback off of what you were just saying about people not having Malgus. Because I've seen this argument and I'm going to get back on my soapbox. And I mentioned this in Discord as well. If you don't have Malgus, don't let that be your reason to not get the ship, to not get the reward. Get it anyway. Even if you do it in the six conquest runs, I still recommend grabbing it before it goes to proving grounds. Because let's say you're in a situation where you don't have Malgus, so you get the ship, you can't unlock it. If you don't get the ship, you're now waiting on proving grounds for Malgus, but also his ship in the future. So you might as well just have it, let it sit there, and then you can unlock it, and you already have it waiting once you have Malgus.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but for both the Raddus and the Executor, we did not have to have the ships all at 7-star to get the unlock. It was,
Correct.
so it may be a case that if you can get Malgus there through the proving grounds and you can get the ship unlocked. Again, we don't know if this new fleet's going to be viable at 5-star. We don't know around, although I guess the executive the you're probably going to need the Fury class at seven. You're well, the only way you're going to have the Fury class is a 7-star unlock. So you would need it at 7-star at that point. So,
right.
I was trying to outsmart myself, and it just didn't work. I can't do it. So,
but it is worth noting also, if you haven't farmed your other Sith ships, then you might as well finish that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything else to say in particular about Conquest?
I don't. I'm actually looking forward to jumping back into it this week. So
I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm so happy it's a ship.
Yeah.
Like, ship conquests, one, are easier, and two, we don't have to gear anything.
Yep.
Not yet.
6 months until we need 3 Omnicrons and 3 Zetas on another character.
Exactly.
Besides, all the other characters are going to dump in the game to make us do that, but this is just one lesson in that window, so.
Yes. Yeah, so this is going to be good. I will shamelessly plug our Discord server as well, if you're not in it, because we have so many people in there that enjoy helping each other with Conquest.
Yeah.
So if you are someone who, you know, would like to get it and wants help, 100% you should be jumping in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yeah, any other thoughts?
I think that's it. I think that we can wrap up our very special episode. Man, I'm excited for the people that are going to be excited for seeing this tomorrow morning, because I love that, like, when we do the special ones, people are like, "What? Do what?" Yeah.
But it's not Thursday.
Yeah.
yeah. This is going to be great. And then, well, we'll record again on Wednesday.
Yeah. So Wednesday we'll cover the rest of the road ahead. And I would expect us to have a new kit. We're probably going to get either Tarful or Saw Gerrera this week. And yeah, so again, another big episode later in the week. We're monopolizing the content creator airwaves.
I'm okay with this. Has it been 2 weeks, by the way, since we got Seer?
Yeah.
Man, okay. Cool. Sweet. I guess that's it then.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. That ought to do it. Until next time, Chewie, we're home.